In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And this feast was actually established to commemorate two events that are connected with the cross of Christ. The first one was the original finding of the true cross by the Empress Helen. And then there was the other one was that the Persians had taken it from the Christians when they conquered Jerusalem. And so it was the Greek Emperor Heraclius that went into battle against the Persians and defeated them and then brought the cross back in. As a matter of fact, when the emperor was bringing back the cross in triumph back to the city of Jerusalem, he was, of course, wearing his emperor's robes, his royal robes and everything. And, it was a big victory, of course, obviously, and he certainly deserved to have a triumphant parade, as it were, procession. So as he was entering the city, all of a sudden he found that he could not proceed any further. He was just sort of stuck. He couldn't go any further. And an angel came to him and said, "You need to take off your royal robes and walk into the city the same way Christ did, humble, And so the emperor did it. He took off his royal robes, and then he was easily able to go into the city. And so they restored the cross to the possession of the church and the Christians. Well, we Christians adorn our churches and homes with crosses, and of course we wear crosses around our necks, and we make the sign of the cross, and we sing hymns glorifying the cross. And our Lord and his holy apostles and saints have instructed us that in order to follow Christ, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, that by the power of the cross, Christ was victorious over hell and Satan and death. And so St. Innocent of Alaska actually makes a really good point. He talks about this in his little book, The Indication of the Way into the Kingdom of Heaven. And he says that everyone has crosses in this life, of course, which he means to say these are all the struggles that we have, the sufferings and sorrows and adversities. But actually, most of these things are external, what he calls external crosses. Like for example, maybe you get sick or something, and so you feel terrible and you're laying home in bed and, coughing and sneezing or whatever. That's sort of an external cross because it's just something physically that's happening to you. Or, you don't have enough money or something like that, or and you're in kind of a bad way and you can't pay your rent. And that's an external cross. And you can think of many other such things like this. But he makes a distinction between external crosses and what he calls internal crosses. And these internal crosses are actually something much deeper that are actually necessary. And he talks about how if you examine your soul with a sense of penitence, that you'll begin to see all your sins, and that's actually an internal cross. When you realize, oh, I'm not perfect. Oh, actually, now when I look at my life, I have made mistakes. I have maybe hurt someone, or I've maybe, sinned in some way or fallen into temptation in some way. And so now in the world today, everyone's saying, oh, that's not a sin. Don't worry. You're fine. And it's all this whole feel good about yourself movement, that we have. In fact, I remember in California, the state implemented this self-esteem campaign for the kids, so that instead of really having, grades or achievements or anything, everybody would get a medal, and they'd get everybody get a certificate, even just for showing up, they would. So even if some kid didn't even bother to write his paper that he was supposed to write, oh, that's okay, here's a certificate anyway, because, they didn't want anybody to feel bad about themselves, Well, obviously, that's not real. That's not true. And it's actually harmful because now the student doesn't get the point that, you have to actually work hard in order to achieve something. They think that life is just easy. And so as these kids would grow up in this thinking, and we see this in our times today, they think everything is just going to come to them easily. They don't have to lift a finger, And they're really surprised when they go out and try to find a job and then no one will hire them, because they have never really done much work. So this idea, that's sort of an image of this idea of interior crosses, where we need to see the state of our soul. And St. Innocent points out that that really the work of the devil is to try and distract us so that we don't see ourselves as we really are. And so if we think about what's a normal day for most anybody today in this world, it's filled with distractions and entertainments and anything but quiet and self-reflection. That is not something that we see too often in today's world. So St. Innocent says that, now on the other hand, he says that we mustn't get so, deeply into this that we lose perspective. He says, interior crosses are sometimes so burdensome that the sufferer can find no consolation whatever in anything. But in whatever position you may be and whatever sufferings of soul you may feel, do not despair and do not think that the Lord has abandoned you. No, he will always be with you and will invisibly strengthen you, even when it seems to you that you are on the very brink of perdition. He will never allow you to be tempted more than he sees fit. And of course, that's one of St. Paul's famous sayings, in the epistles, that God will never give us more temptations than we can bear. He said, do not despair and do not be afraid, but with full submission and surrender to him, have patience and pray, for he is always our Father and a very loving Father. So he goes on to point out how even the greatest saints who were given the gift of working miracles, raising the dead and casting out demons and healing the sick, even they struggled with these interior crosses. Even they looked in themselves and realized that they were still far from the glory of God, as it says, in the epistles once again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's without exception, because only our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect God and perfect man. So he's the only man that ever was perfect. Okay, and he understands that better than anyone. So he doesn't expect us to be perfect, but what he does expect us to do is to repent. He expects us to make an effort to do better, make an effort to examine ourselves and to see where we can improve and do better. And that's why we have, of course, the sacrament of confession and that the whole practice of that. So recently we had on the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, we had this gospel about the two great commandments, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, our Lord said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Worldly love always has strings attached. What's in it for me, the worldly person asks. But real love is sacrificial, when we give of ourselves without getting something in return. And again, in John 14, 21, Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Here we see also that the way we show our love to Christ is by our obedience to his commandments. Christ has built his church upon the earth and told us that the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church, therefore, is the very embodiment of Christ's commandments. All we need to do then is follow what the church directs us to do to the best of our ability. And by doing that, we will show our love for God and he will love us and manifest himself to us. So this idea of sacrifice by loving one another, by loving God, making a sacrifice of ourselves, that's also taking up our cross. Because what is the cross but sacrifice? And without a sacrifice, without the cross, there really isn't much value in the Christian faith. So if someone says, well, I'm a Christian, but they never make a sacrifice, they never, they can't be bothered, what kind of Christian is that? That's a very shallow Christian. It's not going to do them much good. So it's when we sacrifice ourselves for one another and for God, that's when we really show our love for Christ and we are taking up our cross. So brothers and sisters, let us take up our cross and follow Christ. For by the struggle to love him and to love one another, the cross will be for us a weapon by which we will be victorious over our enemies, which are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Then the cross will be for us as a triumphant banner that we will hold high as we make our way toward our heavenly homeland. Glory be to our God.